a look at the battle over through-the-fence access at federally funded airports. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. One of the more contentious issues popping up in the general aviation community right now is the FAA's new, more aggressive stand on through-the-fence agreements. These are agreements that provide access to residents adjacent to airports, which suddenly, for some reason, have really stuck in the FAA's craw. And they're taking aggressive steps to make sure that these agreements are terminated when they reach their expiration dates and not renewed, and that no new ones are created. And my guest to talk about it today is Brent Blue, who has formed ThroughTheFence.org to kind of pull together resources for people who want to fight this initiative. And Brent, thanks so much for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
Well, let's start from the beginning. Usually when somebody advocates for an issue this fervently and is this passionate about it, it stems from a personal experience. What is your personal experience with through the fence issues?
Well, I didn't even know what through the fence issues were a year ago, but it just so happens that I bought a piece of property next to the airport in Driggs, Idaho, where my planes are based. And I had been on the airport renting a hangar, renting land. I owned the hangar on top, and I sold that to my hangar mate and bought property off the airport because I needed more space. And this past spring, the FAA decided that we needed improvements on our runway, and as part of that process, they reviewed all the through-the-fence agreements that the airport had and basically told the city of Driggs, which owns the airport, that they had to essentially cancel any of the through-the-fence agreements that they had or terminate any of those agreements that had a termination date. It, fortunately, in my personal situation, mine doesn't have a termination date, so there's not much they can do about mine. But it brought the issue to light, and as we researched the issue more and more, we couldn't find any coherent reason why they were doing this. I mean, through-the-fence agreements are agreements which allow more activity at airports. They increase the use of the airport. They increase the security of the airport because you have people who are around the airport on a more frequent basis and through the night if it's a residential hangar, residence-type facility. So we couldn't figure out what was going on. Initially, the FAA told us the main reasons were noise, that they were getting lots of noise complaints from people who lived in hangar homes. They said that they were concerned about economic disparity between the people who lived on airports, or I shouldn't say lived on airports, people who had hangars on airports and people who had hangars that accessed the airport with a through-the-fence agreement, and they were concerned about safety and security. Well, we started investigating these issues, and the first issue of noise just didn't make sense on face value. How many people complain about noise who live next to an airport with their airplane? I mean, didn't make any sense at all. And so because of that issue and because the FAA kept on saying they had spent $1.8 billion to buy noise-sensitive land around airports, we submitted two Freedom of Information Act requests asking for the noise complaints they'd had for the last 10 years from hangar homes and also how much money and where it was spent for any land they bought that was occupied by people who had through-the-fence agreements. And believe it or not, there wasn't one complaint that the FAA could document in the past 10 years of a noise complaint from a through-the-fence hangar home, and there wasn't not one dollar spent, on any land adjacent to airports that they bought to reduce noise complaints from through-the-fence agreement landowners. So that argument was just down the toilet. The argument about financial is fairly simple. I mean, if there is a financial issue, it is very easy just to redo a contract and bring somebody who has through-the-fence access up to parity with those on the airport. However, in my personal situation, my fees actually tripled when I went from on the airport to off the airport. But when I asked the FAA under another Freedom of Information Act request to show any economic studies which showed that there was widespread inequality in the access to the airport from off the airport versus on the airport. They didn't have one economic study or any study at all that showed that there was any disparity between the two groups. So that argument was pretty much down the toilet too. And then the last two things, the safety and security, the Airport Watch Program, which is an ALPA program that has been supported by both the FAA and TSA, encourages people to be around airports, and that argument just goes away. And any safety issues that they are concerned about can be dealt with proper gating and photo IDs that they do at many airports already. So this problem is really sort of a non-problem that the FAA, and for reasons we still can't figure out, wants to deal with.
All right, now this is going to wind up being a two-day discussion, Brent, but when we come back from the break here, I want to talk a little bit about the timeline that led up to the current fire lit under this issue. My guest is Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org to talk about through-the-fence agreements that let residential landowners adjacent to airports use airport facilities and why the FAA seems to be trying to grind that out. Brent, we've talked a little bit about the background of the FAA's reasoning in explaining the objection to through-the-fence agreements and how none of them could be documented. Let's talk about the timeline, because you mentioned last spring of 2009, this started to really flare up. And at the time, the FAA's official compliance documents to airport managers discouraged it. And then over the summer, we met Randy Babbitt at EAA Air Venture, and you asked him a very pointed question in his Meet the Administrator session. And then despite his assurances, in September, this went from discouraged to prohibit. Tell us about that process.
Well, I believe the process has to do with staffing at FAA's Department of Airports, Division of Airports in D.C. And the reason I say that is Kurt Schaefer, who's the previous Associate Administrator for Airports, left office on January 20th when the new administration came in. And he said when he left office that the through-the-fence issue wasn't even on his radar. They had always discouraged through-the-fence agreements, but they really hadn't done much about it. When he left, there was an acting administrator, Catherine Lang, who assumed his duties, and she has been in that position as the acting associate administrator for airports since that time. And for some reason, she just sent out information to all the regions that said, start enforcing the through-the-fence issues and to discourage them and try to prohibit them. There was no issue. There was no public comment period. There wasn't any kind of public input. The alphabet organizations weren't asked about any of this. It just happened. And the Northwest region, where our airport is, really took it to heart, and they were working on everybody. In fact, up in Sandpoint, Idaho, they are even threatening the through-the-fence agreement that Quest aircraft manufacturers have. Can you imagine an aircraft manufacturer not having access to the airport with a taxiway? I mean, it was just silly. But Ms. Lang appeared to be the point with the Washington office. And then through this increase through the summer, and then, of course, at EAA Oshkosh, we asked Babbitt about it, and he said after his deputy explained the FAA's position, and that deputy was soundly booed, which is an unusual event at AirVenture, Babbitt jumped in and said, well, we're going to look at these things individually. And then just 2 months later, they came out with the new airport compliance manual, which is 5190.6B, which replaced a manual that was written 20 years ago. It actually is a 700-page manual that replaced about a 65-page manual. And it went from the discouragement of through-the-fence agreements to the prohibiting through-the-fence agreement. And the important point is that the FAA can only do this at fields that at airports that have received federal monies. And their only hammer is that basically they will say, we won't give you any money if you have through-the-fence agreements that we don't like. And because there is no regulatory or codification of this rule.
Well, okay, now I want to back up just a moment to finish today's discussion, because you said the alphabet groups had not commented. We talked to Randy Babbitt directly late last year, and he said, essentially, he kind of pushed our question off on that and said, we're waiting for the alphabet groups to comment. Well, since that time, both in December, EAA and AOPA have both commented. Has anything changed as a result of that?
Well, let me first explain there were two issues. One is the airport compliance manual was issued on September 30th, 2009, without any input from any organizations whatsoever. And that was that happened without any input from anyone. I mean, literally, there was no input from anybody outside the FAA. And we did another Freedom of Information Act request on what went into the formulation of that new manual, and there wasn't one document that was considered that was outside the FAA. Now, the question that about the alphabet groups being asked to submit had to do with a policy letter and an enforcement letter that was written by one of the FAA personnel, and the FAA asked for comments on that letter from the alphabet groups. In fact, they did not ask for comments from the public. They actually asked for the public to comment through the alphabet groups. And those comments were submitted in early December, and we have heard that they may do something with those comments. But we have not heard anything from the FAA at this point that would reassure us that they're going to truly change anything. I know that all the comments that we were able to see were negative. There wasn't one comment that supported the FAA's position or their enforcement of a prohibition of through-the-fence agreement.
Brent, listen, I really appreciate your taking out some time to talk with us about this today. When we return tomorrow to finish the conversation, I want to talk specifically about the effects on individuals and municipalities of this FAA position, and also kind of bring it down to what an individual can do if we want to get involved in this. And thanks very much for joining us today.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
My guest has been Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org. Part two of this conversation will be tomorrow, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.